Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest.
Are we watching everything in tonight's game between the Broncos and the Cardinals through the prism of Vance Joseph? Stoke, what I mean by that is, can we sit and watch tonight's game like any other game? Or will we be analyzing, maybe overanalyzing, every decision that Vance Joseph makes, knowing what might come tomorrow morning?
I think we've been doing that all year. I really do. I think it's been that way all year long. And when you knew he was a rookie head coach last year, there was going to be some growing pains. And you hear Vance talking about what he's going to be doing differently this year. And you knew the pressure on him. So you wanted to see what he was going to look like. You wanted to see what this football team was going to look like. You wanted to see what adjustments were going to be made at halftime or throughout the course of the game. You wanted to see how aggressive he would be or how conservative he would be. You were going to analyze every single thing. I think we've been doing that the whole year. I really do. I know I've been doing it. And so I won't be watching it any different than I always have. I want to see, you know, will he go for it on 4th and 3 again? Will he be aggressive? Will he be conservative? Will he mess up and call a timeout because we got 12 men on the field? All those things. You know, will this team look like they're prepared, like they're ready to go, like they're a competent football team? Will they be executing a high level? And what will Vance's mannerisms be on the sideline? I've been doing it all year. Haven't you?
I have been. And I agree with most of everything you just said, but what makes tonight different is that it feels like we are at an impasse, that no other game played prior to tonight could have been Vance's last game. And you could argue that, hey, you know, he was on a zero threshold thing, and if you lost back-to-back games, maybe they'd do it. I didn't think they were ever going to do it. You know, you lost back-to-back games to the Ravens, Chiefs. Then you went to New York and lost, okay? But I still didn't think that you'd get fired after losing 3 straight games.
No,
you're
2-3,
you know? And then you lost that game to the Rams, and you couldn't make a coaching change because you're on a short week, and you just don't do that. So I think tonight is the first time where it's sort of like a deadline. It's sort of like a hard and fast deadline that if you don't win the football game, you get fired. If you do win the football game, you get at least another week. And I think he'd get at least 2 more weeks if he wins tonight. Because I
agree with you. I like that. I think you give him an extra week.
Yeah, because you're going to Kansas City. You got it. I think if you win tonight, which shouldn't be the biggest deal in the world because you're beating a one-win football team, but if you win tonight, you got to go to Kansas City. I think John will give him one more opportunity to win at home against the Texans.
Yep, I agree with that. Any chance that, you know, I mean, we're pretty, I think we're on the same page, but do you see any chance that if they lose this football game, see, it's a close, hard-fought game, and they just find their way on the wrong end of it tonight, and they lose it. Do you see any way possible that Vance is coaching versus the Chiefs the following week?
Nope. I would put it below 5%. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'd put it as
really, really low.
Unlikely as us re-signing D'Angelo Henderson and starting him tonight. You know, I just think could it happen? You know, maybe,
right,
but probably not.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You know, you look at this game and you look at the magnitude of it. But when I look at Vance and I look at the situation now, for me, I'm going to look at it the same way I've looked at every single game. So it's not going to change my perspective on watching the Broncos tonight. I'm going to follow it the same way I have the previous 6 games and the same way I've watched it all season long.
I think here's a better question for you.
Why'd you have to punch me when you did that?
Because I just want to make sure you're paying attention.
I'm focused.
You said, is there any way that he keeps his job if they lose? Is there any way he can still lose his job if they win and they win ugly? I think Mark Schlereth this morning picked them to win 9-6. Say that is the case. I don't think that's going to be the case. But just say the Broncos won 9-6, and it's that Thursday night football game that everyone complains about. which, by the way, and you brought this up off the air, you know, a year or two ago, we'd be like, oh, it's Titan Jaguars on Thursday night. These games stink.
Right.
Well, there's folks in Massachusetts, New Mexico,
everywhere,
Portland.
But, everywhere, yeah, but. Right,
going,
in
are
this
you kidding
state,
me? We got Broncos,
and
Cardinals.
Right.
Right.
Why do we have to watch this pathetic game?
Right. But they will watch, just like we watched. Just like I watched.
I didn't watch all of them.
I take the NFL intravenously.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
means.
Well, so I think some people are diehard. It doesn't matter. But some people, it depends on the matchup. Depends on the game. And I know I turned off a lot of these games and stopped watching and did a lot of other things. So, and that's what a lot of the country will do. You'll have your diehard fans, but you also have the fans that will be like, I'm not going to watch this game. It's bad football. Nobody wants to watch bad football. You got football all the time now.
Well, to your point, there's playoff baseball tonight, too.
Playoff baseball. How about my Red Sox?
You know,
Benintendi. Benintendi. I say you.
What's his last name again?
Benintendi.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what a catch that was. You know, and a lot of times diving catches are hyped up, but you watch this catch to win the game, walk off diving catch with the bases juiced. If you miss it, you're probably losing. What a play. What an absolute play by him in the most pressurized situation. That was a great game and a great ending.
Yeah, it really was. And as you said, if that ball gets behind Benintendi, the bases are going to clear.
Right.
Yeah, we'll give you the victory on that. Close enough.
But you asked me.
And then real quick, how about the Dodgers putting it on Milwaukee? Okay, it's looking more and more like the executives at baseball are going to shower themselves in Moet.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you would have one of the two of the top five biggest markets in the country be playing in the World Series.
Yeah, that would be good news for baseball. I'm hoping Milwaukee finds a way to win the next game. What? When are these teams playing?
Boston will play tonight.
Okay,
Friday will be Los Angeles in Milwaukee.
I hope that goes to Game 7, and I hope the Red Sox just take care of business. Chris Sale's not able to pitch. He had to go to the hospital a couple of days ago,
so he's
not pitching. But at least you have that luxury if you the Red Sox that you're up 3-1 right now.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, that's huge. That's everything. So we'll see.
You got a lot going on, and you got a Valor football game tonight. So, you know.
Oh.
So I won't be in front of my TV when it's going on. I'll be checking my phone, and obviously when I get home, you know, I got to put in extra duty.
So
I got to put in overtime tonight.
Who's coming in to play Valor tonight? Is it a team from Cali, a team from Florida? Who's coming in?
Local team. Good football team. Thunder Ridge. Good football team. I think they lost one game this year, 7-1. So,
okay.
Yeah, good football team.
7-1 record, and Valor is?
8-0.
8-0.
Yep. So
it's
going to be a good football game.
Awesome.
Looking forward to it. I love game day. Love it.
So you're going to watch the Broncos on delay after?
Yep, got to watch it on delay, unfortunately. But I'll keep, you know, I'll follow it on my phone when the defense is out there.
Yeah, don't let Eddie Mack see you playing on your phone during that game.
I'll pretend like I'm off to the side, just quick peek here. No, I'll actually have somebody on the sideline that's not playing, like, give me updates.
Sure.
Give me updates.
Or you could act like you're playing with your little speaker box like Vance does.
Oh, stop.
All right, I asked you a question.
Yeah, stop doing that. I wish you would stop doing that.
What's that?
Like, he looks, he's like fidgeting down there.
I know. It just doesn't look good.
It just doesn't look good. It doesn't.
We were talking, is there any way that Vance Joseph could lose his job, keep his job in a loss? I think the more important question in this situation is there a possibility that Vance Joseph could get fired if they win ugly? I have an example where this has happened. I want to give that to you and hear your answer next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest for more details.
All right, Stoke, I got an interesting question for you as we, you know, speculate around the future of Vance Joseph. Is there a way that Vance Joseph could get fired from his head coaching position tomorrow, despite finding a way to win the game. Now, let me paint a picture for you.
I'm ready to answer. I don't need a picture painted.
Okay, go ahead.
No. No chance. Just can't happen. You win a football game, that's the bottom line. Okay? Bottom line is win a football game. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what it looks like. You get the W, and you move on, and you're good to go. That's it.
So there's no scenario. There's no scenario that you can get fired after tonight. You win 3-0, and you re-sign Isaiah McKenzie and have him field punts.
And he fumbles 5 times. It's a match last year.
And then he's whatever his best friend's it.
Okay, he's gone.
No, so there's no, so kidding aside, there is no scenario. You win 9-6 like Mark Schlereth predicted this morning. You win 9-6. There's 4 turnovers. Your defense, well, I guess you'd only give up 6, but
right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I think if you win, you do enough good things to survive and move on if you're Vance Joseph. Winning is the bottom line, and if you're able to do that, even if it's an ugly win, you take it on the road on a short week, you know, a lot working against you, and you take it and you move on. And you hope that you start playing better football because you're going to need to. Schedule's tough coming up. Well, with the Chiefs, and then you got the Texans at home, and so you reevaluate, I guess, week by week after that if they don't play good and get a win. But if you win this football game, Vance is alive for another week.
What if you tie?
Oh, the old dreaded tie. Like,
it's happened
past,
a couple times.
No, I know. It's like a relevant question now. Years past, you'd be like, hey, we're tying. Come on, that's a dumb question, but that's a relevant question. Oh my goodness! If you tie,
he is. I think he's good. I think he's gone more in a tie than he is in a loss.
Right. Yeah.
If you
right.
tie the Cardinals, we're done here.
You know, if you're Vance, and it becomes tricky in these overtime games. You know, if you're having the ball and you're backed up with like a minute 50 left, like what are you doing? What's your plan? Are you going to try to win it? Do you sit on it? Like, what do you do in those situations? You better go all out. Ties, no bueno. No bueno with a tie. You got to figure out a way to win this football game.
Here's another question. Since Vance knows that he's on the hot seat and he'll likely get fired if he doesn't find a way to win, does this affect at all any way that he would call plays? If he's got a 14-7 lead, does he call a more conservative approach just to try to retain a lead instead of being as aggressive?
Nope. I think you got to call the game. You got to prepare. You got to do everything the same way, regardless of what the outcomes means for you or your future. You have to call it the same way. I think you know Vance did a good job this week, and he said, "Look, it's not going to change my approach. I'm not doing anything different. It's every week. I give it all I got. You know, I feel like I'm coaching for my job every single week. And so that's the truth. That's how coaches feel. You know, that's how I felt as a player. I was coaching for I was playing for my position every single week. I felt like if I didn't play well, I was going to get released. And that's the mentality for most people in that building. And so I don't think it changes anything of how you're going to operate on game day. Every week you're out there, you know, because you realize that every single week, every game is so important. Every win is so crucial and so important and can change the narrative of your season so quickly. You look, you do the same every single week regardless of whether your job's on the line or not.
Here's an interesting RamosLaw.com text that I want to bounce off you because I feel like it's representative of a certain portion of Broncos country. It comes from Nick. Nick says, I know it's time for Vance to go because I find myself in the same position as last season, hoping that we lose to get better draft position because I know we aren't going to win enough games to ultimately matter.
And that's the way I was last year also. This year, I'm not there yet. This football team, I went through the schedule. They can get to 8 wins very easily. They can get to 8 wins very easily this year. Okay? And the possibility of getting a 9 is there, and it's real. And I'm not just making things up. So I'm not ready to throw the towel in on this season. Playoffs, look, it's not looking good. I'm not expecting this team to go to the playoffs. But to be able to say that you haven't had back-to-back losing seasons and since, you know, whenever, and to be able to say that you have more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons, I still think that streak matters, and I'm hoping that that streak can continue. That's impressive stuff right there. So I look at what's left in front of the Broncos, and I'm not ready to go in with Nick on that right now. I still think there's something to play for. And last year let's just lose. You know, what's the difference between being, you know, 5-11 and 6-10? The only difference is we're going to be a lot further back in the draft, and sure, that's going to really, really hurt this rebuilding process. So I'm not ready to throw the towel in on this season just yet.
You know what I think is an interesting question? I think it's a real one, too. Whether the conversation behind closed doors, when no one else is around, between the administration over there at Dove Valley, if their focus has shifted to that as well. That the last thing that we want to do, yeah, we know we're not going to be a 10-win playoff team this year, but the last thing that we want to do in the year that Mr. Bolin is going to go into the Hall of Fame is snap the streak that was started with his tenure of not having back-to-back losing seasons and having more Super Bowl appearances rather than losing seasons. And that statement would evaporate, and I wonder if the focus has shifted. That the last thing that we could ever do, yeah, we're not going to go win 10 games. Yeah, we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, but the last thing that we can do is finish 7-9. We got to find a way to keep this streak alive for Mr. B.
Oh, yeah, that's in the back of the minds. You know, when you got a streak like that, everybody realizes that you don't want that to be on your watch. You know, John Elway doesn't want to be the captain of that ship whenever, yeah, you know, you're not able to say that anymore. So, but that's not what drives them. But at the same time, that's there and that's real.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing that we have here and that you can say. Not many teams can say that. I don't know who can say that.
And the later it gets here, the later it gets, the more I think relevant that actual conversation becomes. I remember Jerry Rice at the end of his career, he had like a streak of consecutive games with a reception. And it would be late third quarter, and he wouldn't have one. They'd say, put you on notice here. And as the offensive coordinator, it was actually something you had to think about for half of a second.
Yes.
That I know we gotta figure out a way to keep this alive. And I think that may be ultimately, and maybe not now, but ultimately where we end up at. All right, Stoke. The scariest part of tonight's game. The scariest. I'm going to give it to you next. The scariest part of tonight's game between the Broncos and the Cardinals. This is a real one now. This is a real one. Blitz percentage, Stoke. Did you realize, when we talk about blitz per drop back percentage, that nobody in pro football blitzes more than the Arizona Cardinals? Over 38% of the time. The Broncos, in an untimely situation here, the offensive line is going to be without arguably their very best offensive lineman, left guard Ronald Leary, torn Achilles, done for the season. Jared Valdir, still dealing with a foot, not going to play tonight.
And the guy you wanted to bench now is your main starter. Connor McGovern. So, you know, yeah, two starters are out, and you're one that you wanted to bench and now has to be a starter.
That's what we're looking at here. The level of concern from most folks around Broncos country isn't much because it's a one-win team, but the Broncos have only won one more game than that. There's a reason why this is such a big game for us in Week 7. How much does this, not having Leary, not having Valdir, and being up against the number one blitz percentage team in the league. How real is that?
Yeah,
for you?
That is. It's real. You look at the changes on the offensive line. You look at the things that Arizona does. They're going to try to confuse you. They're going to try to think you're coming one way and blitz the other way. So your running backs have to be on the top of their protection, but your offensive line has to be on top of it also. And that's a big thing. You got some new pieces in there. You have guys that haven't played very well in there. In this game, look, personally, when I played receiver, I like when teams blitzed. That's leaving you one-on-one. That's the open spaces there. In this situation tonight, it concerns me with Case Keenum, you know, because when he doesn't look comfortable and he doesn't feel comfortable He doesn't play like we were hoping he would play. And we've seen those situations this year when teams are pressuring him. He does some stuff that has you scratching your head. And so hopefully they'll be able to block it up, because if you can protect it and block it up, now you got those matchups that you love on the outside with your main weapons, Emmanuel, DT, Cortland Sutton. You know, maybe you get Phillip Lindsay one-on-one with a linebacker or a safety out there. So you have some favorable matchups, but you got to get it blocked up. If you don't get it blocked up and they're getting pressure on Case, you're in trouble.
Your level of confidence that this group, as you said, you know, down a couple starters, a guy you want to bench is now a full-time starter in Connor McGovern. Max Garcia, who was benched and was coming off the bench to rotate last week, he's now going to be a full-time starter at left guard. What is your level of optimism that they can get the number one blitzing team in football blocked up?
I'm concerned.
Uh-oh.
I'm concerned. I haven't seen enough from this group. I really haven't, to be able to go out there and do it. And then, like you said, we got the new pieces tonight. They'll be obviously challenged, and we'll take a good look at it tonight. But this group as a whole hasn't played together. You know, Garrett Bowles, we know his issues. So, you know, Billy Turner at right tackle, we'll see what he looks like against all these exotic blitzes that they'll have dialed up. It's going to be a big challenge. It's going to be a big challenge, but I am definitely concerned about this group, because you look, I mean, they got some good guys up front that can get after the quarterback, and then you start bringing extra guys. It makes it that much more difficult. You create one-on-one matchups for yourself. So Chandler Jones, Garrett Bowles, one-on-one. So it makes it difficult. It makes it difficult on your offensive lineman, but if you can get it protected, and if you can get it figured out, Case Keenum. If he can see these blitzes beforehand, and then all of a sudden, you know what you do? You audible. You audible to the quick screen to DT. You audible to something to get the football out of your hands quickly and get it in your playmaker's hands and let them make plays. So that's how you stop teams from blitzing. Make them pay for it. And that's what this team needs to do.
This may be, and I know some folks will laugh at this, and that's okay, but this may be, in terms of the guards, a blessing in disguise. And here's what I mean. One, we heard from Orlando Franklin yesterday that Ron O'Leary flat out wasn't playing well. Flat out was not playing well. Was getting help from the center, Matt Paradis. Very unusual to hear that type of perspective from Orlando, who is obviously uniquely qualified to serve up that kind of analysis. But here's the other potential blessing in disguise. What were we going to do with the right guard position last week?
Rotate.
We're gonna rotate. What do guards not like to do? Out of the horse's mouth last year, Max Garcia.
They don't like to rotate.
They don't like to rotate. So you're taking a player out of the lineup now. This is, I'm not saying that losing Ronald Leary for the year is a good thing. So I don't know who would argue that. But he wasn't playing well. You're gonna put Max Garcia at left guard, and you're not gonna have him rotate. Connor McGovern, you're not gonna have him rotate. So we'll see if they can get comfortable against this front and get this thing blocked up against the most blitzing percentage team in all of football, over 38%. Maybe so.
Yeah, though. I mean, the one good thing is Max Garcia has played a lot of football.
Sure.
I mean, he's played a lot of football. I mean, he was a starter on the left side most of last year. He's played in the Super Bowl. I mean, he's been around for a while, so it's not like this is his first start. You got an inexperienced guy that all of a sudden you're starting now. You got Max Garcia, and yeah, it hasn't been perfect for Max, and a lot of times we wish he would play better, but at the same time, at least you have an experienced guy that's seen pretty much everything. He is the replacement for Ron Leary. I think if you want to look at it from that perspective, it's like, okay, well, it could be worse.
Could be worse.
You could have a rookie back there. You know, you could have Sam Jones that you have to put in there. You know, we don't know what Sam's going to do, but at least we don't have to go with an inexperienced guy that's never played in the NFL. You got a guy that's been there, that has done it, and hopefully he can get the job done tonight and maybe solidify that, and maybe it's a blessing in disguise, where you get better production out of Max Garcia now that he had time to kind of evaluate the situation and take a step back and watch the other guys do it. And so we'll see how it looks for Max Garcia, but it could be one of those things where you look back and say, man, Max Garcia is actually playing better than Ron Leary was.
Did you as a player like Thursday night games?
I did. None of the linemen, none of the big fellas liked it. They didn't like it because they take the pounding. I didn't take the pounding. I liked having that, you know, mini bye at the end of it. got a few days off. Like, oh, sweet, I get to watch college football on Saturday all day and NFL all day Sunday. I mean, it's awesome.
Do you get those days off from the team, or does it matter if you win or lost?
Usually you'll get them off. I don't know if there's something now in the collective bargaining agreement that, you know, they signed a few years ago that makes it mandatory. But usually, it used to be it was just discrepancy of your coach.
Sure.
So if you won, you know, okay, you have the whole weekend off. If you lost, you know, we're going to be in on Friday, and we're going to do this and do that. And then you got Saturday, Sunday off. I'll see you Monday for another workout. So it all depended on if you won or lost the game. But now I think they might have something in there that says, you know what, they have the whole weekend off. You got to give them 3 days off. But
gotcha.
I liked it. I liked it. It was fine for me.
Quick turnaround, but a May vacation.
Yep. I looked at the back end.
Yeah.
And the week leading up to it, all you did was walkthroughs.
Right.
You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just walkthroughs. Like, okay.
And that's what
nice.
It sounded like. He said walkthrough on Monday. He said, walkthrough on Tuesday, maybe a fast period, he said.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
Guys are turning up a little bit, but obviously not.
I wouldn't have done that the day before the game. You know, that's I did hear him say that, and I was like, ooh, if you're going to do anything and pick up the pace, you want to do that on Tuesday and then do nothing on Wednesday. Just have your little walkthrough on Wednesday. I don't think you need to pick the pace up the day before the game. I'm sure they weren't going very hard out there, but still, it's the day before the game. I want to do as little as possible the
right.
day before the game. Then you got to get on a flight and go over there.
Interesting. 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 You know, Alfred Williams has been bumping his gums to me about how he could beat me in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I'm down here at Sports Column, and they got the hoop set up.
Yeah, they got the nice hoop set up.
And I'm telling you what. I am feeling like my old self again.
Well, until you backed up a little bit, then you're starting to clank them a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what.
You're doing layups.
I will not be taking threes against Alfred.
Oh, you're going to the rack.
Blow-bys.
You got to be kidding.
No, I'll tell you, it was impressive. Like, you're making everything. You started shooting one hand. I Big Al don't have a chance. But, you know.
But he's losing a little weight. So
yeah, but he still can't move laterally. Trust me. You see him walking in. He's got those bunions, those bad feet, the bad toes. No chance. He can't move laterally. All right, I'm just telling you. He's going to foul you every time. He's going to try to grab you. There's no chance that he could play with you.
Yeah.
None.
Well, he's, you know, I got an offer by Jim Boeheim to go to Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was 1986,
right.
Alfred.
That was a long time ago.
It's 2018.
Right.
You better get some treatment at Spine One. You better get some WD-40 and spray it behind your knees like the Tin Man. I'm telling you.
I think we ought to set that up. We could Facebook Live it. D-Mac and myself could MC this.
Yes.
Do play-by-play.
Yes.
And watch y'all two go at it.
Yes. I got you. I am really looking forward to it. It will happen. All right. It's time for an early in the week edition because of the game tonight. Fill in the blank. We will fill in the blank offensive edition next. It's time for fill in the blank. We'll start with the offense here. This is typically a Friday tradition, but we will obviously pull it off here on a game night. Just by the way, at 2:15, we're going to be joined by Luke Lipinski, who does Cardinals pregame and postgame. Sort of give us a couple extra nuggets that we don't know about the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll go into enemy territory at 2:15. All right, Stoke, you ready for fill in the blank?
Yep.
All right, let's get it. Number one, the Broncos will convert blank 50% of their red zone trips to touchdowns.
Less than their season long percentage is 47%.
Correct. Good math.
Well, you know, I just
trying to gloss you here.
Yeah.
Right in front of both of us.
Right. So I just did it real quick. Less than. I think less than. I think it continues. You know, until they prove to me otherwise, how can I count on them to go, you know, 3 for 4? I don't see it happening. I see them being under the 50% once again.
How could this have gone from Case Keenum being 17 for 17 in the red zone a year ago to the very next year to be one of the worst
in the whole league? With good talent around him. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he was a one-hit wonder. Mm. Maybe it was one of those just great years, and now he's coming back to reality. How else can you say it? I mean, you just look at what you see. You look at what he did last year, and for whatever reason, you hope that he's still getting used to this offense and Bill Musgrave and all these, you know, moving parts that happened from last year to this year, but I really don't know. You should be playing better.
There's no question about that. The last part of that. Number two, Case Keenum will commit blank turnovers.
Well, he's thrown an interception in every single game this year. I'm saying two interceptions from Case Keenum.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, wow. That's where we're at. You know, I want to give you
that's
real.
Where we're at.
I want to give you real pushback and say, whoa. How, you know, prognosticate, you know, two interceptions against a 1-5 football team, but. Oh, this is the reality of the situation.
Right.
This guy was risk-averse a year ago. Seven total picks in, what did I say, 481 passing attempts a year ago. Just seven interceptions in nearly 500 attempts. And here we are. He's already passed that number.
He's a fraud.
He's already passed that number. And here we are. It's not even week seven. He hasn't even played the seventh game of the season yet. I mean, the way that things have gone, it's like two different sides of the coin. Case Keenum, along with Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, and Andrew Luck, believe it or not, are leading the NFL in picks. Eight picks for Case Keenum. Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. It's a stat that, you know, we talked about a lot this offseason when they signed him. You know, having only the seven interceptions last year, I mean, that was part of the reason why we both really thought it was going to be a really good signing. And you got to take care of the football. He, for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to do that this year.
And that's too bad. And the real part of the story is, yes, the eight interceptions are terrible. But he hasn't thrown the touchdowns to balance that out.
That's right.
You know, that's really part of the storyline. So, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, hasn't played a game in a handful of weeks. Last played in, you know, September 30th against the Bears. He still has more touchdowns, four more touchdowns than Case Keenum does. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
And you look at the weapons that he has at his disposal, it's like, why the interceptions? Why aren't we seeing the reward and the payoff with the touchdowns on the other end? And so you're right. If you're throwing touchdowns, look, you can live with some interceptions every now and then. It's going to happen. But when you're not throwing touchdowns and you're not making plays, you can't have it. You can't live with it.
Yeah, quite simply. And that's the difference between a guy like he and Andrew Luck. Yeah, Andrew Luck has thrown the same amount of interceptions. Andrew Luck's thrown 16 touchdowns. 16, as opposed to the 7 for Case Keenum. All right, Chad Kelly will play blank snaps.
Zero snaps for Chad Kelly. You know, Vance Joseph is not going to make a move, I don't think, midway through this game or after the first quarter or third quarter. I think he's all in with Case Keenum. And, you know, if they lose and Vance gets fired, you know, I think he's going to get fired. You know, with Case Keenum being his quarterback, I don't think he makes a move to Chad Kelly.
Well,
I think that's a mistake. I think you should be ready to make a move, but I don't think Vance does.
All right. So no snaps. Maybe we'll see a kneel down. If he comes in for a kneel down, does that count?
No. No. We're talking about meaningful snaps here, I think. Aren't we? I'm talking about seeing Chad Kelly play football.
Stoke, I'm joking.
Okay. Well, I never know. Never know with you. You're asking a lot of dumb questions.
Royce Freeman will receive blank carries.
I think Royce gets 12 carries. You saw last week he had more opportunities than Phillip Lindsay in the running game. He had 9 carries last week. Obviously, you know, score dictates a lot of that.
Yeah.
But I think it's 12 to 15 carries, and I think Lindsay, you know, if you're winning the football game, he'll get around 8 to 10 carries. I still want to see them build off of what they did last week with Phillip Lindsay in the passing game. That was what really stood out to me. I liked what I saw. I liked them getting him involved, threw him some of those bubble screens out wide, got him out there, matching up against some linebackers. Take advantage of his unique skill set.
That's something that you were calling for a couple weeks, and last week, to your point, 7 targets in the passing game for Lindsay. This guy is a Swiss Army knife. I mean, again, to your point, let's try to open up more of those blades, if you will, within that Swiss Army knife. Only 4 carries, though, for Phillip Lindsay last week.
Yeah.
I was a little bit surprised when you step away and look at the final number.
I think they wanted to feature more Royce Freeman, and I think they wanted to use Phillip Lindsay more in the passing game. I had no problem with it. None. You know, some weeks you might see Phillip Lindsay get more carries, and some week Royce Freeman. I like that. right? Let's let our game plan and who we're playing against dictate who gets more carries in the ground attack. It wasn't like they didn't use Philip Lindsay. Now, I would have had an issue if you didn't use him at all.
Yeah.
You used him, you sprinkled him in there with a few carries, but you used him a lot in the passing game. So I had no issue with the way they handled the running backs last week, giving Royce Freeman more carries, and also the score dictates it. Right, you're not going to be able to run the ball 30 times when you're down right out the gate, you know, and you're playing catch up the whole game.
It is noteworthy just to put it in the back of everyone's pocket when you watch the game tonight. Not one ball carrier for the Broncos last week, not Booker, not Lindsay, not Freeman, had a 10-yard run. You know, that's unusual. Usually throughout the course of a game, you're able to break a 10-yard run. It just didn't happen last week. Just one carry went for 9 yards, and that was Booker. All right, Garrett Bowles will be flagged blank times.
I got one for Bowles. He'll get one penalty. Look, I mean, I know Bowles has been criticized a lot, but he's the least of the problem here on this offensive line. And look, he does have some untimely holding calls, but they got other issues besides Garrett Bowles up front that have to play better also. And Case has to do a better job of stepping up in the pocket, know where the pressure's coming from, all those things. But I think Bowles' streak continues. He's got to get one. Yeah, so I'll give him one.
The obligatory,
and he's going to, you know,
the holding call.
You know, if Chandler Jones is on that side, I mean, you got your work cut out for you. Guy's the real deal. So hopefully they have some protection schemes in there where he'll be able to get some help. Can't leave him out on an island every single play. Can't do that to him. Okay, just can't. And we understand that. He has his limits when it comes to, you know, being able to be out on an island one-on-one, especially against premier pass rushers. He has things that obviously we've seen. He can't handle that all game long. So in certain situations, you've got to figure out ways to help him out and give him a chip, give him a double team, whatever the case may be. Keep a tight end in every now and then, something to help him out a little bit throughout the course of the game.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we're talking about, you know, potential get-right game for the Broncos. But if you're one of those pass rushers, I mean, if you're a Marcus Golden, you're Chandler Jones, you're looking at the Broncos going, okay, I got Garrett Bowles on the left side. I have Billy Turner, not the game one starter at right tackle. I got Connor McGovern at right guard, not the game one starter at right guard. I got Max Garcia at left guard, not the game one starter at left guard. I mean, they're putting a bib on before they put their jersey over it because they plan on eating up.
Oh, yeah, eat greedy. You know those guys are looking at this offensive line and say, hey, let's get after these guys. There's some sacks to be had, you know. And you realize that when you start watching film and, you know, when I watch film of defenses, like, oh, we got a chance. We got a chance to have a big game. Let's go out there and put some numbers up today.
No doubt.
And that's what Arizona Cardinals are doing. And why wouldn't they? Who would blame them for doing that?
Yep. Got to figure it out. And a lot of that is on Bill Musgrave and Sean Klugler and the rest of those guys to figure that out.
To help guys out. You know, you got to realize where your weaknesses are and you know what, through scheme and coaching, help those weak guys out and give them some help.
All right, final fill-in-the-blank offensive edition question. The Broncos' leading receiver will be
Emmanuel Sanders every single week. Look, I think he's been great this year. Hopefully no pointing, no unsportsmanlike conduct penalties from Emmanuel would be nice. Just catch the ball. If you want to point first down, hey, point first down. If you want to put up a touchdown, put up a touchdown. Just don't point at anybody else in their face over and over again. but besides that, look, the guy's been great this year. He really has. You got to find a way to continue to get him the football. Be creative with the play calls. Put him inside, put him outside, move him around. Make it hard for them to match up Patrick Peterson on him. And find ways to get Emmanuel Sanders the football. Your offense is at its best when Emmanuel Sanders is getting the football in his hands.
Yeah.
Run plays, you know, the reverses that we've seen from him. Saw one in preseason, saw one earlier in the year where he scored a touchdown. Find different and creative ways to get the ball in Emmanuel Sanders' hands.
Yeah, he's coming off of a couple nice weeks. 2 weeks ago against the Jets, it was 9 receptions for 72 yards. But last week against the Rams, 7 catches for 115 yards. A touchdown. He averaged over 16 yards per reception. If he has a game like that tonight, the Broncos are going to win. And I'll say this,
I'll say this about Demaryius Thomas. DT has had a couple really good games back-to-back as well. Demaryius, quietly, he had a game over 100 2 weeks ago. This past week, I want to say it was like 57 yards and a touchdown as well. So Demaryius has found a way to, you know, sort of channel what he was. I mean, he's not going to be the old version of himself, but he is, I believe, I stand by what I say. At the beginning of the season, I think at the season's end, he'll be flirting with that 90 reception, 1,000 yard season that he had put up a handful of times in a row. But we'll see. We will see.
And he, you know, you're right. He's not. I think we are. We've all come to realize here, DT's not that player he was 4 years ago.
Nope.
Okay, he's just not. But if he can continue to put up solid performances like he has the last couple weeks, we'll take that. You haven't seen the crucial drops, the major drops. You've seen a guy go out there and be a steady part of this football team, making plays, and hopefully that continues. But this time it continues with a W behind it. But he's a guy that can be a consistent contributor. You're not going to see the big explosive plays, you know, that we're used to seeing from DT. Hopefully he'll cut down on the drops, and he'll just continue to kind of be doing what he's been doing the last couple weeks, because he's been a solid, solid player for you.
And unless I missed one, I don't think DT has dropped a football.
I can't recall one.
In a handful of weeks, ever since that Raiders game.
Right. He's been really solid with his hands. Had that bad performance against the Raiders.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's bounced back.
He has
bounced back and been a consistent contributor.
And let me just say this final point on the wide receivers. At the start of the season, I believed that Emmanuel Sanders would be over 1,200 yards. And look, this game isn't played on paper. It's not about numbers. He's already over 500 after six games. So see if he can continue to trend in this direction. All right, Stoke, fill in the blank. Defensive edition. Von Miller will make how many impact plays? I want to hear, but first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/businesscontest for more details.